B-Pod Studios.
Stay with us and we're going to show you how to take dead aim.
Take dead aim.
The importance of taking dead aim.
Welcome to Taking Dead Aim, a show dedicated to the game of golf and the people who play it in the Carolinas and around the world. Taking Dead Aim is a presentation of Academy Sports and Outdoors. And now, here's your host, the guy using your member number at the snack bar, Charlie Nance.
Welcome back. Once again, we're Taking Dead Aim, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter, at CLT underscore golf guy. Another week. And more cancellations and postponements in the world of golf due to the ongoing coronavirus crisis. On the list this week, the biggest event in Charlotte, the Wells Fargo Championship. And with the President's Cup scheduled here next year, we won't see this tournament until 2022. And the PGA Championship scheduled for mid-May at Harding Park in San Francisco, it's postponed. Also, there will be no local qualifying for the U.S. Open, meaning Joe Blow has no chance of making the field this year. Sectional qualifying is still on the docket, and that usually is just nothing but professional golfers. I know it's necessary. It still bums me out that what I've always used as an escape, watching sports, specifically golf, isn't available at the time of year that I love it most. This week's show is entitled Golf's Boots on the Ground, because that's who we're talking to. Three guys who are or were on the ground when big things in the game in the last couple of weeks went down. We'll begin with Ron Green Jr. of the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, who, as you know, was on site at the TPC when it was called after round one. We'll get his take on that bizarre occurrence and more. Andrew Sapp is the head men's golf coach at East Carolina. His team season was canceled in an instant, and for some of his players, he had to tell them that as seniors, they'd played their last match for the school. And we'll wrap things up with John Patrick, syndicated host of the Augusta Golf Show. As a longtime resident of the home of the Masters, there's no one better to go to for the 411 on the season's first major and whether or not he sees it getting played at all. We begin with Ron Green Jr. Ron, I feel like so much happened within 24 hours of our last conversation. I believe the last time we spoke was last Thursday or maybe last Wednesday during TPC week. The majority of our conversation was about where does the PGA Tour go from here? Are they going to be on the right or wrong side of history? And within 24 hours, we went from everything full speed ahead for round one at the Tournament Players Championship to all of a sudden there will be no spectators on Friday, to at 9:50 on Thursday night, the event was canceled, as well as the next three events. Within a day or two, the Masters was canceled. The whole sporting world got turned upside down. So I guess I want to start with you here. Where did and when did you get wind of there was something big afoot at Sawgrass?
Well, I think when they announced they were going to have no spectators. It's funny. I mean, it all, in some ways, it was just a week ago. It all seemed so long ago. I mean,
yeah.
Things just sort of keep coming at you. But, you know, you sort of, it was funny being out there on that Thursday afternoon as the first round was sort of winding down. You just had the sense like, okay, is this the last time I'm going to see a golf tournament with people all around? At that point, you didn't know they were going to cancel the golf tournament. But you kind of had a sense that nobody was going to be here, and or maybe they had already announced it. They already lose track of that. But you just had a sense that we're just, this wave is just starting to build. And, you know, then I'm sitting at dinner the next night, and or that night, I guess, and then you get the text. Actually, you hear that it's being canceled. And I texted a player I know who had not gotten the text that, I don't know anything about this. And then as we're texting back, phone goes, oops, there it is. Yeah. Players and whatever through whatever it was, up to Heritage. And then, of course, since then, it just, I mean, it was a very strange time. I remember thinking, well, Matsuyama shot whatever 63 that day. And like, it's just going to go by the wayside. And what would it have been like on Sunday afternoon to be playing with nobody out there? Would it have meant the same thing? Well, we don't have to worry about that now, but, you know, you could see it on Jay Monahan's face, just the anguish, just sort of the stomach-churning angst about what he was doing and trying to do the right thing and do right by everybody. And, you know, and I think he said in his press conference that Friday morning, we could probably continue this and get this done, but it just doesn't feel like it's the right thing at the right time. If you could get one person, you know, all sorts of things could happen, and so here we are.
Yeah, no.
With the next avalanche.
Yeah, no, I think at the end of the day, Monahan made the right decision, even though it was the toughest decision to make, is this is his big marquee event. And, you know, there's a part of him that had to think to himself, with everything else being canceled, if we can get through this, we're going to have nothing but eyes glued to us as a TV product because we'll be the only sports thing out there. All of these things had to weigh on his mind. And I was reminded of reading a memoir of Pete Rozelle. And Rozelle always talked about the Sunday football games after Kennedy was assassinated. And the NFL went on as scheduled. And he said it was the greatest regret of his life. And I think you're never going to regret not doing something, you know, in this situation. I think the only bad decision could have come, the only regret could have come, if he went ahead and went forward with the tournament. So at the end of the day, looking back a week later, of course we think he made the right decision, yes?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, he was getting the information from a lot of organizations, and, you know, a lot of people made the point, well, Mike Wann and the LPGA had already made that decision before Jay tried to play some. Well, as Mike Wann said, he and Jay were in contact. They were together. They were in constant contact working this through this thing, and Mike Wann was in a different situation, and the fact that three of his tournaments had Asian-based sponsors who could even get here and be part of it, and that factored into their decision earlier. So, it's a fascinating. It'll be a fascinating story when we all are able to look back and get the timeline of how things happened and what finally pushed. You know, when Monahan was asked what changed from one day to the next, he didn't say one specific thing, but he did talk about the international players and their worries about being able to get home, which were very legitimate concerns. And then he just knew. He's a people person. He knew what the feeling was and where it was going, and they got to where they needed to be, and now the question is, how long before we get it back?
Yeah, let's talk about that. Ron Green Jr. with the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, our guest taking dead aim. I commend you a piece that he has written. Pro Golf's pause reflects game's prevailing ethos. It is in the Global Golf Post, and it's one of the most powerful pieces I've ever seen read. Ron's our guest taking dead aim. Within days of this, and it all just seemed to happen so fast, so my timeline may be screwed up. Maybe it happened the next day, maybe the day after that.
Well, you're with me. I've lost my timeline. Has gone all over the place.
Jay immediately canceled the next three events on the PGA Tour, which took us up to the Masters, and that's not a PGA Tour call. That's Augusta National's call, and it did not take long, within a day or two, that Fred Ridley, chairman of the club, said, we're postponing the Masters, which is unthinkable to me. I just, you know, the only time I can ever even remember reading about the Masters not happening was during World War II, and now the Masters is not happening, or at least it's been postponed. Then this week, just yesterday, as we're recording this on Tuesday, we got word from the PGA Tour that the events after the Masters have been canceled, including the PGA Championship, which has been postponed, and including our beloved Wells Fargo Championship here at Quail Hollow Club. Next on deck is Jack's tournament and the U.S. Open. Ron, we have no idea where we're going with this, do we?
Not a bit. I think these are, I don't know if you want to say optimistic or hopeful sort of restart date, potential restart dates, but I mean, if you're talking to Major League Baseball or the NBA or any other league, they don't really know. I mean, every day we get more dire and dire warnings about what we're going to have to do or need to do and how we protect ourselves and sort of try to blunt the ultimate force of all that's going on around us. And, you know, none of us have ever lived through anything like this. I mean, my mom's 86 years old. She's talking about, I remember with the polio quarantines and all that, but this is more becoming more than that, and hopefully we can get back to golf by June. I don't know. I mean, I thought all along that the first month cancellation was probably a little. I felt like we were going to get more than that, and it didn't take long. What did it take? 3 or 4 days till they made that announcement. So, I think in some ways they're just like us. The leaders are just like us. They're they don't know quite what to make of everything, and they're going to obviously err on the side of caution, but they also want to get back to things. I know that from what I've been told by people who would know that they're basically a chain, text chain with Jay Monahan and Mike Wann and Mike Davis and Seth Wall on it. You know, the leaders who were trying to figure out what to do and how to do it and when to do it. I mean, you know, yeah, we're hearing about a potential October Masters. We'll see if that ever happens. You know, the PGA is postponed. There's talk of it being played, I think, the first week in August in San Francisco. But, you know, then all sorts of, it just, you know, there's a Ryder Cup out there that, despite one report, has not been postponed. They're not planning to postpone it now. 6-8 weeks from now, 10 weeks from now, that might be different. But right now, I know that that report was inaccurate from people who were involved with it. But there's just so much uncertainty. I mean, you know, it's if they get back to normal later this year. I mean, think about this: it's 2 years before the Wells Fargo Championships play at Quail Hollow again.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you because I had seen the report about the Ryder Cup being postponed. From a pretty reliable guy yesterday and thought, okay, if that happens, that means everything is pushed back a year, which means the Ryder Cup then takes place in 2021. The President's Cup takes place in 2022. If that's the case, would the Wells Fargo Championship conceivably move back to Quail Hollow and not to Avenel?
That's a very good question. I think that would seem like a lot to me. I don't know about contracts and exceptional events clauses and all that. You would think that's what would happen, but I just don't know. I think it's all in such the early stages of things. I just think I don't have an answer for you, but that's what I would think would happen.
Ron Green Jr. with the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, our guest taking Dead Aim. I've heard the October Masters date. A lot of people don't realize that Augusta National Golf Club is a winter club. They open around October 15th every year, and they stay open until the last week of May, and then they are closed over the summer. And one of the reasons they're closed over the summer is the Augusta heat and humidity. Those bent grass greens, regardless of what Augusta can do to them, they will not withstand the torture of the Augusta summer, having lived there for 5.5 years. I know this firsthand. October would have a very different looking Masters, even with the agronomy geniuses that they have at Augusta National, don't you think?
I think the whole thing would feel so strange. I mean, there would be parts of it that would feel normal once you got out there and see somebody, you know, trying to hit that shot into 13 or whatever. You're like, okay, here we are. But, I mean, it'll be football weekends. It'll be, you know, I don't know if the leaves won't be turning probably down there, plus the pines don't really turn, but you won't have the flowers. You know, I would imagine you'd have it pretty green. But I just think the whole thing would have a strange feel to it. Now, I love the fact that they feel the golf tournament is important enough that they want to play it, even if they're going to play it, you know, 6 months later than originally planned. It would give us two Masters in 7 months, which would really be strange. But, you know, I just... You know, you read all the things that, hey, you can't get a hotel room the second week of October in Augusta. Hilton's blocked all the rooms and Marriott's are going for $800 a night, and they've requested an extended fall break for the school system and all that. There's a lot of chatter down there about that. So it certainly sounds like there's some reason for all that. But whether it ever comes to pass, I know a lot of people think, well, CBS does the golf and CBS has the NFL. And who? You know, I got to believe they could work that out. I mean, Roger Goodell does have a green jacket. And, you know, I could see a scenario where they say, all right, we're going to play. We'll finish the Masters at 4 p.m. And then you can have the late game window. And if you need to move a game or two to Sunday night, maybe we can do that too, or whatever. I think there are ways to work around that. I know CBS has college football on Saturday. At least they do right now. I think they're getting ready to give up the last year of their package to ESPN, to the SEC. But, you know, there's any number of moving parts, and I would imagine 1 month from now we'll have a much clearer idea of where things stand and where they're going to go. I mean, my guess is we're probably still going to be told to stay in our houses a month from now.
Yeah.
But and if so, then those what happens to golf season.
Yeah, one more piece of speculation on the Masters. As much as I think it would be interesting, and I would hate to have a year go without the Masters, having lived there and worked there, and you've been around those people for decades, there's a part of me that knows that one of the things the men of the Masters likes is their particular time of year. They have absolutely no competition. They have just finished the NCAA tournament. Baseball has not really cranked up yet. The Masters is the sporting event in the world of sports for that 1 week. And it seems to me that rather than be competition with college and pro football, even though the Masters would garner millions of eyes, it seems to me that the men of the Masters would almost rather say, you know what, I'd rather scrap this year and maintain our position as the sporting event at a time of year than to be in competition and have all of this. Does that sound like it could happen to you?
I think they could finally decide, you know, we're trying to force it. Maybe we just ride it out and get to April. I think that's possible. I think any number of things. Well, a July Masters is probably not possible, but I think that's certainly within the realm of possibility.
Get you out of here on this. Ron Green Jr., Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, our guest taking dead aim again. His piece, Pro Golf's Pause Reflects Game's Prevailing Ethos, is one of the finest golf pieces I've read this year. I commend it to you in the Global Golf Post. Players are not used to having this kind of time off when they are not injured. Probably none of them even know what to do. Have you been in contact with players? I know you're somewhat friendly with those that live here in the Charlotte area. Have they expressed to you how they're occupying their time? Are they, you know, golf is one of the games that at least right now they say it's not bad for you to be outdoors and you can social distance and work on your games. Are guys working on their games at this point, or what do you anticipate their lives being like?
Yeah, I think they're all sort of thrown for a loop a little bit. I have not. That's one of the things I'm going to work on next week. I decided to sort of give it a week because, in a sense, a lot of guys weren't going to play this week anyway. So, but let it sort of settle in. I immediately flashed back to being out at TPC Sawgrass on Friday morning early before Jay Monahan's press conference. And we're talking to various players who were coming in and out of the clubhouse to get their clubs and stuff to pack up and head off, and talking to McIlroy, and somebody asked him what he's going to do now. And he said, well, I guess I'm going to go home and practice. He said, but I don't know what I'm practicing for. And I think that's true. I think, you know, and interestingly, I mean, you can't really take a vacation because there's not a lot of places you can go, and what can you do when you get there? So, I think it's, I think guys, as long as they can get out on golf courses and work on their games, play golf, and then be a lot like the rest of us and try to figure out, you know, what life is like when you can't go to the mall or you can't just pop up and go to a restaurant or go to a movie.
I really cannot commend his piece in the Global Golf Post highly enough. That's Ron Green Jr. And when we return, Andrew Sapp, head men's golf coach at East Carolina, takes dead aim at what it was like to have your team's season ended seemingly with a snap of the fingers. Presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We are Taking Dead Aim, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Andrew Sapp is the head men's golf coach of the ECU Pirates, whose season, like all spring NCAA sports, abruptly ended last week, a casualty of the coronavirus crisis. Coach, I want to get started. Before we talk about the events of last week and how everything just got turned upside down, with the season being over, let's sort of step back a minute and talk about your team and talk about your season and some of the individual performances you had. As we go back to the fall, you really had a solid fall. A third-place finish, eighth-place finish, sixth-place finish, fifth-place finish. You had a tenth-place finish in another tournament. But all in all, in the fall, as a team, everything looked really good heading into the break.
It did. We had a, like you said, a solid fall. We had an interesting fall in that we still didn't have everybody play well at the same time. Blake Taylor got off to a blistering start, and A.J. Beechler had an incredible end. Neither of them really played well at the same time. Patrick Stevenson would play well at times. Tim Button played well at times. And then Tim Button was injured for a couple of tournaments, so that kept him out of the lineup for two events. But, yeah, the fall overall was pretty solid and left a lot to be excited going into the spring.
When you're playing five and counting four, as you do in most college tournaments and most high school tournaments and everything else, at the college level, how many guys do you need to be really playing well for the team to have consistent, solid finishes or even win? Is it two guys? Is it three guys? How many guys do you really need firing on most of their cylinders at the same time?
Well, you need at least three, because you hope that between, say, your four and your five men, they'll play well one round if the other one doesn't play well. So you need three playing very consistently week in and week out. And then you just hope with your four and five men, they kind of quote-unquote brother-in-law each other really well.
Let's talk about your team individually a little bit. We've known about Blake Taylor for a number of years. Like you said, he got off to a blistering start. Who else this year came through, or maybe not came through, but you were sort of excited to see a progression of them as a player from the beginning to when the season just ended?
Well, I think one of the players who really came on well, who didn't play much last year, the freshman, was Addy Giles. He started quite a bit for us, which was a great progression for him. Addy's from Pinecrest and Pinehurst, and was a teammate of A.J. Beechler. And A.J. played every tournament for us his freshman year, so to see him continue to play well in his sophomore year was not a shock. But having Addy step up and just showed a lot of hard work on his part to improve from year one to year two, and it's exciting for his future as well. We still got a lot of good play from some of our juniors. Stephen Carroll had a nice finish in Tennessee. Tim Button had his best ever finish up in Michigan, and then unfortunately dislocated his kneecap. So he sat out for a couple of tournaments in the fall and then came back and still played really well at the end of the fall for us.
I thought you banned things like skiing and pickup basketball. How did this happen?
Well, it was just a mishap in the weight room right before we were starting to work out. So three things happened.
Wow. Coach Andrew Sapp is the head men's golf coach of the East Carolina Pirates. He's our guest taking Dead Aim. As I look at the very end of the fall season, you had to feel good about this. You had a top five finish at the Intercollegiate at Innisbrook, and if memory serves, isn't that where the conference tournament would have been held this spring?
That's correct, yeah. We were excited to go down there. Jack Massey played as an individual for us down there and played really well. We took six players, because you never know who was actually going to be in the field for the spring from your team. So it was good to get an extra player down there to get some experience on that golf course because we knew that we were going to be planning on playing our conference championship down there this spring.
Okay, I want to get to the events of last week. It all had to be fairly surreal. You were coming off of a weekend where you had two different groups playing two different tournaments down at Myrtle Beach. One group was playing at the Hackler course at Coastal. Another group was playing at the Surf Club. And everybody was like, okay, we're still working towards getting ready for conference. And for, gosh, all of your seniors, and we have three or four seniors on the roster, what they thought was just their latest tournament as a senior turned out to be the last time they will ever play for East Carolina. The whole thing had to just be surreal. How much notice did you get? How did you find out?
not a whole lot of notice. And the shocking thing about everything was that everybody learned about the NCAA canceling things via Twitter. The communication of that was pretty much exactly what it was, a tweet. And we were all, as golf coaches and baseball coaches and softball coaches, and even our athletic director, that's how he found out. So it was kind of a shock to all of us as far as the NCAA canceling all of the spring championships. And then after that, it was just a domino effect of different conferences and different individual tournaments canceling their invitationals. To where yesterday it was announced that our conference was finally going to be one of the ones who also is canceling all practice and competition within our conference.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I had friends that witnessed something last week, and they didn't know quite what to make of it. At my home course is one of the practice courses for Wingate. And both the girls and boys teams were out. Did the word come down Wednesday or Thursday? When was that?
Let's see. It might have been, I want to say it was Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah, because we had a coaches meeting at 9 a.m. on Friday.
So Thursday afternoon, the kids are on the golf course, and all of a sudden, someone who everyone just assumed, I guess, was an official with Wingate shows up in a suit and tie and a walkie-talkie and a cell phone and talks with the coaches for about 2 seconds. And the coaches were ordered to round up the kids and get them off the golf course because practice was canceled. That everyone said it was one of the more surreal things they'd ever seen, because it just didn't make a whole lot of sense. What was the thinking behind pulling kids off a golf course in the middle of a practice? Was it that big a deal? Was it that necessary?
I mean, that wasn't the case for us.
Okay.
Because I think from our standpoint, we had, as of Friday, we had suspended practices, and we were still in a wait-and-see period to see what our conference would end up doing. But then over the weekend, UNC Charlotte and Davidson host a tournament at Irish Creek, and I was talking with the Charlotte coach, and he said they didn't know because the Atlantic 10, which Davidson's a part of, basically canceled all their spring sports, and there were about four or five teams from the Atlantic 10 playing in the event, a couple Big Ten teams playing in the event who'd also canceled. Conference USA at that time had not, but he said, I don't know that we're going to have a field. And they ultimately canceled NC State tournament, which we were supposed to play in as well in April. They canceled. We had to cancel our home event, which the final round's supposed to be going on today. Mm. So that was the sad part, was our seniors didn't get to play in their final home event. The worst part about it for us is I still haven't seen all of my players. After the tournaments at Myrtle Beach Tuesday night, I let them go home if they wanted to for the rest of the spring break until Friday, which we were going to start practicing for a home tournament Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and compete yesterday and today. But it was while they were all gone that this news broke out. So basically it's been through texts and emails and phone calls that I've talked to my players about the situation.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, at this point, we don't know if classes are even going to resume this spring at all. I know that some colleges and universities across the country have already announced that there will be no more on-site classes, that everything's moving online for the rest of the semester. So there's a strong possibility you might not see these guys again collectively. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, unless they all came back and moved out at the same time. I mean, our freshmen have been told they need to move out of their dorms by March 25th. The rest of our guys all live in apartments or houses, and most of them live together. I saw one of them on campus yesterday, or actually at our practice facility, because he was coming back just to get some stuff from his apartment to head home because, yeah, now they're supposed to start up classes online next Monday. So when you're just going home for a few days, you don't think to pack everything you possibly need for school to start over or start back up online. So all of them are going to have to come back at some point to pick up things, if not totally move out.
Oh, my gosh. This is all just surreal. East Carolina University Headman's Golf Coach Andrew Sapp, our guest taking dead aim. You and I have talked many times over the years about the relationship between the intimate relationship between college golf coaches and their players because it's such a tight group and you have them for 4 years and all of that. And, you know, you've got Chris Akers, Logan Schuping, Patrick Stevenson, Blake Taylor. These are four seniors. And you had to have a conversation with these guys that I know you personally. I know you would have liked to have had face to face. What was it like to have to tell these guys over the phone or even via text that, you know, their career at ECU was over? How did that go?
Well, it's obviously shocking. There's still lots of questions. Will the NCAA grant every spring athlete an additional year of eligibility? And then will players who possibly were set to graduate this spring take advantage of that? I mean, some have jobs lined up. Some are engaged to be married and are moving on to the next step. Some might want to use that extra year if it's granted to them. There's so many unanswered questions from the NCAA at this point. Will we get one or two or three of our seniors back next year? Will they give everybody an extra year of eligibility? How will that affect scholarships? Because that's a big question, because most schools, us included, have scholarships promised out all the way to the 2021 class.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, because that was my first question when I started to read the possibility of the NCAA granting an extra year of eligibility. I said, well, whoa, hold on. What about the incoming freshmen? These coaches have already planned for some of these scholarships to be available because people were moving on. At that point, does the NCAA grant a waiver and provide for extra players on the roster? Do these guys automatically have to become redshirts? How do they feel about that? Does that let them out of their commitments? It just seemed to me there's a lot of moving parts to that that possible situation.
There really are, and a lot of unanswered questions. So I don't know what the NCAA is going to try to do. Obviously, they want the health and welfare of the student athletes, including an opportunity for them to compete for their universities. But is it feasible? Because we think of the seniors, but the juniors, sophomores, and freshmen also lost their championship season for those spring sport student athletes. That's still a loss of a year. So if you were going to say, well, let's give the seniors one more year, you'd have to probably do that for all spring sport athletes, give everybody another year, just to be fair.
Get you out of here on this. East Carolina Headman's golf coach Andrew Sapp, our guest taking dead aim. Normally, once the season is over with, you pretty much know what your players are going to do. You have tournaments lined up, or they have tournaments lined up over the summer. You know what they'll be participating in, how you keep up with things. With everything so up in the air, this has got to be sort of a challenging time for you guys as coaches to remain in contact with players and figure out just what in the Sam heck's going on.
It is. I mean, I texted our guys. I said, hey, the NCAA might not let us play together, but the Carolinas Golf Association might. I mean, you guys should sign up for the Carolinas Four Ball together and partner up and do that. Play in some other CGA events that were not available to us because they were in the middle of our season. The Carolinian, which was going to run right over regionals. But who knows if those will take place at this point. There's just too many unknowns about the entire spring and summer schedule for golf. I've just told my guys, hey, keep working on your golf game. In a lot of ways, the golf course is the safest place to be right now. You're outside. You're not around a whole lot of people. And It's pretty healthy place to be out in the sunshine and warm weather. So, I played 9 holes today. I'll probably finish the back 9 this afternoon.
I really do feel for Coach Saff of ECU, his kids, and all the kids of NCAA spring sports. You hate to end a season, and in some cases, a career like that. And up next, we take dead aim at the Masters with our boots on the ground in Augusta, John Patrick, syndicated host of the Augusta Golf Show, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We are Taking Dead Aim, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. John Patrick is a longtime resident of the Augusta area and is the host of the syndicated Augusta Golf Show. As such, I can think of no better source to talk to about where we are with the Masters. John, since you're my boots on the ground in Augusta, we'll get to that in just a second, but I want to backtrack a little bit because, like me, I'm sure your head was spinning starting about, you know, late Thursday into Friday morning in the world of golf and how fast things changed. I was talking to people as late as Thursday afternoon for last week's show, and we were talking about, is the PGA Tour going to be on the right side of history going forward, playing with playing the Players' Championships, and all of that changed, and then events were canceled, and was your head spinning as fast as mine was, or were you saying, okay, this I expected this?
I did not expect the Players. Once they started, I thought they'd finish. But we were starting to hear in town that something was up, something was going to give. And we all kind of thought, okay, we'll play through Sunday, and then we'll see where all of this goes. You know what's really hard? It's really hard to believe. It was 9-10 days ago. Everything was fine. We were playing basketball, spring training games. Golf was being played. It's only been a little more than a week. But I was surprised once they started that they canceled. I wonder how much of that had to do with optics, with it being golf, with it being that sport. We can't be the one playing while no one else is playing. Obviously today it looks like the absolute right thing to do. But I wondered at the time how much golf played into all that.
Well, and I thought the same thing in terms of the optics, and to use a word that's used all the time in grade schools, you know, the peer pressure of being that sport, because there had to be a part of Monahan that thought to himself, we are potentially the only sport in the world that people who are sports crazy will be able to watch. This could be really great for our sport because we can clear out the fans. The guys can be, you know, golf could be played. And what a boon it could have been ratings-wise and whatnot for the PGA Tour. But I think at the end of the day, you're right. He made the only decision that, looking backwards a week, he could have made. He made the right move.
Well, we thought the same thing when there was talk of maybe the Masters would get played without spectators, without patrons. Think about those ratings. But again, and everything else moved forward.
Let's go ahead and talk to the Masters. John Patrick is the syndicated host of the Augusta Golf Show. He's our boots on the ground in Augusta and our guest taking dead aim. You started to hear rumblings when about something maybe afoot with the men of the Masters before they canceled the Players or around the same time?
Well, again, as you said, everything moved so fast.
Yeah.
From shortly after the NBA situation, that morning, you know, the following morning when the NBA stopped doing everything, postpone the season, and all of a sudden everything started to fall like dominoes, and you began to say to yourself, and to that point, you know, that Thursday, you couldn't see a way they were going to go about and do it. At least it wouldn't be business as normal. A lot of the talk was no spectators. That's what you were hearing all through the city. They're not going to have patrons. I just couldn't see how they would do it as normal.
No, and let's just be honest about something. The Masters without patrons is not the Masters, because part of the charm of watching the Masters every year, and especially if you're on site, but it comes through TV loud and clear as well, but there's nothing like the roars at Augusta. And an Augusta with no roars means you don't know what's happening on 16 when you're on 12. You're not hearing that echo. There's no pressure on you. You have no idea. It's just like you're playing a member guest tournament at your club.
You're right, but remember this. At the time, we were discussing and facing, were we going to have March Madness without patrons? Were we going to play baseball games without patrons or, you know, of spectators and fans? And so at that point, maybe no spectators was going to be the norm. So we didn't know at that point. So that was the rumor on Thursday.
What is the feeling in town? You live there. You've lived there forever. I lived there for 5.5 years. So I'm well aware of how much that tournament means to the economy of Augusta. I don't think people have any idea how much people's lives are actually wrapped in to that one week of the year. Is the town just, in addition to the morning being the coronavirus outbreak, that is there also just a feeling in town about the Masters being postponed at this point, and we don't know if it's going to be played?
Not yet. The city's concerned, like all the other cities, with the health situation. You know, it seems like we've got three constituents here. We've got the people who rent their homes, and that hit.
Yeah.
You've got the hospitality business, the hotels, the restaurants, and that hit. And then you've got the people who do all of the work, and that hit. And those are the constituents that we're kind of feeling for. You know, the people that sell their homes. Let's be real here. There's people out there selling, you know, renting their homes for a week, $10,000, $12,000, $15,000, $20,000. Hard to hurt for them. The restaurants, it's their 13th month.
Yes.
It's found money. But it's the caterers. It's the housekeepers at the hotels. It's the people who come and clean the homes that are being rented. They're the ones that are really going to be affected by this. And they're the ones that are really going to be impacted by this. The city as a whole and that community, because of everything else that's going on and because it's not here yet, don't quite feel it yet.
John Patrick, syndicated host of the Augusta Golf Show, our guest taking dead aim. Let's play speculation game. But before we do that, with all the dates that I hear being thrown out as possibilities, and look, the health situation in this country, it's so up in the air and so fluid that anything we do in the next few minutes is truly, purely speculation. But I got to thinking in conversation with someone yesterday. If there's one thing that I know about the men of the Masters, they really like their place in the golf calendar. And one of the reasons they really like it is they have found a spot where they're the only game in town. The NCAA tournament has just finished. NBA hasn't ramped up the playoffs. Major League Baseball hasn't really gotten started. Football's over with. For that one week, the Masters is not just the center of the golfing universe. It's the center of the sporting universe. I know they love that. And if you were to move the Masters to a fall date, all of a sudden you bring the 800-pound gorilla in the room that is college football in the southeastern United States on Saturday and professional football on Sunday. And it's not that the Masters wouldn't get its normal amount of attention. It would. But there would be a lot of distraction, and the ratings wouldn't be what they normally are, and that's something they pride themselves on. I bring that up because it occurred to me that I could almost see the men of Augusta saying, you know what, we're just not going to do it this year. It's just not proper. We're going to wait and just hit control, alternate, delete, and we'll see you in April of 2021. If you were to place a bet, and we're betting on whether or not the tournament could be played in the fall, would you bet on them canceling just because or trying to get something in the fall?
Well, I'm the guy that has said since Friday morning on the air, it's not going to happen. They're not going to play it. And they're not going to play it for a variety of reasons. The infrastructure that it takes to put that tournament on is massive. And it's all from a volunteer standpoint. And many of their volunteers, and I call them volunteers, but many of their volunteers are dealing with their own situations from this. I don't think we're going to see the Spanish Golf Federation. You know, I don't think we're going to see a lot of these people that help them with rules and tournament regulations and the such. There's been talk in the last week in town about the students that help them. You know, the man the pro shop, that man the concession areas, that help them with all that they do. And there could be another break in school in the fall so they could do this. That's just the tip of the iceberg of what it takes to put that tournament on. And with every inch of my being, you know, the amount of gallery guards that stock away the first full week in April, what are you going to get them now for the first full week in October? Can they do that? For every inch of my being, I don't see them putting on a three-quarters Masters. I don't see them putting on a tournament with three-quarters of the gallery guards, with three-quarters of the officials they need to properly regulate the tournament, with three-quarters of the volunteers to man the concession stand. And everything we're talking about is the fall. They're going to get to October or November. First full week in October is what we hear a lot of. I think they're going to look at it and say, you know, we got another one in 6 months. We'll just do it then.
See, that's what I keep thinking, and I had totally forgotten. And for those that don't know, one of the unique things about the area of Augusta, the CSRA, the Central Savannah River area, is that every school district within, would you say, I don't know, John, 40 miles on either side of Augusta?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, every school district on 40 miles either side of Augusta takes spring break at the exact time every year, and it is during Masters Week. And it is because people either rent their houses out or they're involved in volunteerism. And I had totally forgotten about that fact and how many students, both college spring break and high school spring break, who man the merch tents, who man scoreboards. There's just, you're right, there's an awful lot of people behind the scenes that I hadn't taken into account.
Now, they want to, and they will tell you, and they told me, we want to do this, John. And I think they're going to make a wholehearted effort into looking in about into doing it. But with that, and with everything that's happened since the Friday announcement, they won't do it in an autonomous way. It'll be conversations with the PGA of America. It'll be conversations with the PGA Tour. I think those bodies right now are trying to figure out how do we do the next 7 months of 2020? Do we get to play golf? If we get to play golf, what do the next 7 months look like? Do we pick it up from where we left off and play whatever's left? Do we try to get in the two majors we're not going to play? Do we move the U.S. Open to Oakmont? I think everything is on the table, and they're going to try and see how do we restructure what's left of 7 months. And I think the club will say, we'll make this easier on you. We'll see you next year.
I think so, too. The more I think about it and after talking with you, that's the way it has to go. Too many moving parts. But that being said, there has been a lot of interesting talk about what you said in the first of October. I think Curtis Strange tweeted something out about getting the runaround from an Augusta hotel standpoint. Sort of, and Bob Herrig, I think, has written a piece on ESPN.com, sort of pieced together for the people how this conspiracy and rumor is getting started about when a possible date for the Masters could be.
The hotels have taken it upon themselves to think the first full week in October is when it's going to happen. They're betting on the first full week in October. I went online
with no insider information.
No, they have not heard. They have not only not heard from the tournament and the club. They've not heard from any vendors. They have not heard from CBS. Hey, we're going to need the hotel in October. They've heard nothing. They're just rolling the dice that the first full week in October is the date it's going to happen. I went online yesterday or day before when this story started to break, and I tried to make a couple of reservations at a local Marriott properties, and the Spring Hill Suites was $925 a night for October 8th and 9th, and Residence Inn was $964 or whatever. And then you heard Bob Herrick, saw Bob Herrick's story where many of the hotels were sold out, not available for those dates. It is, as we are understanding here in town, the hotels rolling the dice, hoping that's the week. They haven't heard from a soul.
And I almost think that would be another reason why the men of the Masters would say no, just out of spite for someone trying to dictate to them when they would hold their tournament, because that's how they would see it.
Well, okay, we can have that conversation. Here's what they like. They like you think that. They play off the fact that you think that's, you know, and everybody does think, you know, that's how we operate. They don't. I mean, they would love to have it. They don't want to see the economy suffer. They don't want to see what they know what they do and what it means to this community. They would love to put it on. And I think they're going to do all that they can to try and do it. I just don't see how it happens.
He's our boots on the ground in Augusta, syndicated host of the Augusta Golf Show, John Patrick. I'd also like to thank ECU head men's golf coach Andrew Sapp and Ron Green Jr. of the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer for their time and insight this week. Folks, strange days. As far as this show is concerned, we're going to endeavor to keep bringing you content on a regular basis. I want to remind you to keep up with us on Facebook. Just search Taking Dead Aim. Give us a like there. Featured now, links to articles on the latest goings-on in and around this game and all these crazy times. Speaking of these times, you know, golf may be the best way to get good exercise, plenty of ultraviolet rays and vitamin D while being able to practice safe distancing and washing your hands all at the same time. And weather-wise, to quote Larry David, it's going to be pretty, pretty, pretty good. So plenty of opportunity this weekend in the Carolinas for teeing it up and letting this game continue to haunt your soul and break your heart and give you an escape. And if you do put a peg in the ground, remember to exhale, swing, pose, and keep it in the short grass. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter, @CLT_golfguy, and I'll see you right here soon. Taking Dead Aim, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.